an encore broadcast of the Nigel and James Show.
You think you got it? You get it?
I'm looking at the eyes. The eyes say no.
No, not getting it. Good evening, Northern California. This
Good evening.
Is Nigel and James.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm well.
It's starting to feel a lot like Reading, finally.
Yeah.
Getting warmer.
Yep. But we might be getting some rain, right? Did I see that? Maybe?
Tomorrow?
A little...
That'd be cool.
A little spit.
That'd be cool. So, we have a great show tonight. We have Mr. Baron Browning with us. But before we get to Mr. Baron, you know, our most famous resident in Northern California is Bigfoot, right? And he's alive and well in Willow Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And we have with us Shannon from the Willow Creek Chamber of Commerce. Shannon, are you here?
I am, Nigel. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hi,
how
Shannon.
Are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. You know, just living the dream out here in Bigfoot country.
Yeah, right? So,
somebody's got to do it.
Before we,
exactly.
Before you announce the big Bigfoot news, which is kind of cool, Willow Creek was one of the communities that got ravaged last year, I believe, with the fires.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you know, it was a really scary time for all of us. It got pretty darn close to our main drag in Willow Creek. You know, we had the Monument Fire that started just east of the town of Willow Creek, and then the Knob Fire started in early, I believe it was August, or maybe that one was September. You know, it all kind of bleeds together.
Yeah.
It was a scary time for everybody in all these surrounding areas. But we all saw how resilient our community was. Everybody banded together. There was a great response. Willow Creek survived the fire, although there were a few nights with some, you know, real tense moments surrounding our main area. But then we got hit after the fires went out with a really devastating winter storm. On the evening of December 26th, Willow Creek got more snow at low elevation than what I've heard from some people who've been here a long time in over 30 years, and that caused mayhem, I'll tell you what.
So Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
exactly. A really great Merry Christmas, but again, it was an example for Willow Creek to show just what a resilient community we are. We band together. There was people back in the neighborhoods in varying parts of our area and the surrounding areas that were trapped and could not get out. So you had not only our local volunteer fire department, but you also had private citizens that were all out in the streets doing whatever they could with chainsaws or equipment if they had it. And, you know, everybody got out and everybody was safe. We had, you know, minimal impacts. There was some damage to some homes, but everybody came out a stronger community in the end.
Excellent. It's good news.
Good work.
So I go through Bigfoot, Bigfoot. I go through Willow Creek all the time when I go up to Humboldt, and I always stop off in Willow Creek. And the first time I went to your Bigfoot Days celebration, I was surprised at how massive it was and how many people were there. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen last year or the year before, right?
Nope, yeah, we missed out on 2 years of fun.
But you're about to announce what?
Yes, we are on for 2022. Bigfoot Days 2022 is on. So, you know, the traditional date is Labor Day weekend, but considering the fire activity in the past few years, we really wanted to make sure that we could throw a successful event and get everybody there at a time at Veterans Park, which is the largest venue to house the biggest event that we could have, which is what we're planning for. So we changed the date this year and are hoping to get back to Labor Day eventually. But for now, it's going to be on Saturday, July 9th. So everybody put it on your calendar. We will be announcing how vendors can apply for booths and all of the day's activities shortly. So keep your eyes on the Willow Creek Chamber of Commerce Facebook page.
Yep, and we'll be promoting it on California Adventure District, of course.
Yep.
And
thank you, Nigel.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Shannon. So I will see you guys next week. And
that sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, have a good
one. All right. You have a good
one.
Thanks,
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. You know, Bigfoot Days, July 9th. I know you think I'm kidding, but those who are listening, who've been to a Bigfoot celebration in Willow Creek, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
it's a big deal. A lot of people show up from all over the place, and
well, yeah, I mean, it's a Bigfoot is global.
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
He's called many things in many places.
Yes, he is. So back to the issues at hand. We have with us Mr. Baron Browning. If you weren't the mayor or doing all the other things you're doing, you could be a professional radio host at this point, I believe.
Yeah, I've got some airtime, I guess. You know,
that's funny.
Because that was code for he's filled with hot air.
That's true. As so, most politicians are, right?
So
yeah, that's politicians 101.
That's right. There's a class.
Yeah.
So Baron is the current mayor of Anderson, and you are running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 5.
That's
is that correct.
Yes.
So over the last couple of years, obviously a lot of people have left our area, but a lot of new people have moved in. A lot of people, right? The real estate market went kind of through the roof. So I've noticed for ourselves anyway, we have a lot of new people visiting some of our sites and maybe listening in. So for people who are new to the area and are just trying to get their feet wet in Shasta County politics, obviously a lot of people know you already. But if somebody doesn't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Grew up in East Oregon, a little town outside of John Day, if you know where that is.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know that.
Dayville, Oregon.
John Day, Dayville. We had a huge ranch in, what's the smaller one, John Day or Dayville?
Dayville.
Dayville. So we had a 17,000-acre ranch in Dayville.
Oh, you did?
I used to go there all the time. We used to fly into some airport on the top of a cliff, basically, and then drive through John Day and to go to Dayville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful area.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All that our ranch bordered BLM land, so it was this lush forest.
Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That's all I could think of. And then we were Smoky Creek, it was called Smoky Creek Ranch. We had the Smoky Creek that ran through it. And then we had, an area that we'd go sit up on the top of the mountains and they would fly F-4 Phantom jets through the valley. And practice low approach under radar. And, I mean, you literally could almost reach out and touch them as they went by. But beautiful part of the world.
It is.
Yeah. Wow, that. Love just the name, you never hear that, right? Because it's like nowhere on the map.
You're only the second one since I've been here to talk about it. Another business partner that I work with, and we started chatting. He goes, my family grew up there. So
it's nothing.
Right. My graduating class was 6.
Wow.
If that tells you anything how big the city was. Population 110.
Yep.
56 kids, K through 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then after high school, right off to college in North Dakota, and decided to go get cold, even colder. Not that it's not cold in Dayville, but decided to go figure out how to get colder. So, and then joined the Marine Corps, and then spent the next 16 years in the recycling world, working for a couple different recycling companies.
How long were you in the Marine Corps?
6 years.
Oh. Yeah. So did you get to see the world? Or
no. No.
You stayed local?
I was based in stationed in my last tour out of Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. And so, then, go ahead.
No, and then you got into the recycling?
Yeah, so then I got an internship in Portland, Oregon with a recycling company and spent a year just learning the trade and understanding it. And
when
it's
you
really
say recycling, this is like for city waste management?
Yes.
Okay.
For
private or?
It was private.
It was private, okay.
Yeah, so I spent a year with them, and my MOS was logistics embarkation, so it really fit with plan loading and all the other things that I learned in the military to go to work for them. So then I spent my internship year and then got promoted from there into a GM position and then slowly rose through the ranks and then ended my career with Budweiser, as a matter of fact, running their recycling division.
So was that still up in Oregon? Or?
No, I worked out of St. Louis, Missouri, but our home was in Sacramento.
Awesome.
Gosh, I know.
We had
he's been traveling around.
I know.
Plants all over the United States
and
Asia and Mexico was my territory.
So. So when we come back, that was the first breakaway. That was, that was quick. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll get to when you moved up here.
Yeah. Sure.
Awesome. Be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate. When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back with Evening Northern California. This is Nigel. James. Hello. And so, Baron, do you recognize the riff or no? Like, it's one of the biggest
ones. Oh, yeah,
we
forgot to do that right in the beginning.
Oh, I missed the 10 points. I'm a country guy.
Well, we'll give you two. Okay, a little bit of Van Halen.
Van Halen,
there,
yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. He knows who it is. It's just not coming to him at the moment.
That's right.
We'll make it easier next time.
I don't know that you can make it any easier.
All right.
We'll do achy breaky.
So, we're getting your story.
Yep.
So when we left, you were doing recycling for Budweiser?
Yes.
And for those who don't know, Baron is the current mayor of Anderson, okay. And you're running for Board of Supervisors District 5.
Correct. Yep.
So when did you end up in Sacramento?
Moved there in 99 and met my now wife, and we got married. And
love at first sight?
Yeah, she's amazing. I married way up. I'll say that. I'm very proud of marrying way up. She's an amazing lady and huge heart. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, she puts up with a lot for me.
And then, yep. So she was from here. She is from here.
Yeah, she was. Then in 2004, she said, "Hey, I'm moving home." And we'd been here a few times. Family, all of her family's here. So all but one sister. Wanted to move back with mom and dad and aunts and uncles and all that stuff. So, mm-hmm.
So when you came up here and you looked around, were you like, oh, this is amazing, or were you looking around going, okay, what is this?
No, it was very interesting. So coming up here, it was fine visiting the family, and then we moved up here and we actually rented an apartment in Anderson while our house was being built. And I'll give you a very short version of the story because I know we don't have much time and a lot to talk about, but. So I was on this conference call, so I go to Burger King in Anderson, and I on this conference call for a little bit, and I get all done, and I'm done
Burger
eating.
King.
Yeah, Burger King in Anderson.
Joe Long's place.
Yeah. I realize I don't have my keys and my sunglasses. I left them on the front counter, and I said, did you guys see my keys? Nope. So someone took them.
Mm.
Like, and I'm literally sitting in the window in front of my car. So then I had to walk back to the apartment. Hmm. From where I was at, and then go to the lady that I just got the keys from yesterday and go, I already lost the keys. Like, how embarrassing is that? But it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 108. Mm-hmm. I walked home, and I called her, and I said, you moved me to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally. Yeah,
literally. And it only got hotter from there.
So that was your initiation into the heat.
And you never got your keys back.
Never got my keys back.
See, I was hoping it was going to be one of those good stories where the, you know, like, we live in such a great place and somebody was like,
chance,
here's your keys, and no.
There's a great part of the story. She goes, well, I put the extra set of keys. I know you didn't bring much, but there's a little box, and I put the extra set of keys in there. So I got my keys and ran back up there, and the manager watched my car while I was gone and ran back up there in the 110 degree by then.
Oh, my gosh. You know?
That's great. So, okay, so that was... That was 2004.
Yeah.
Awesome. So then you landed here, and then what did you do? What was the first thing you did?
You know, I traveled. So I traveled about 300 days a year, so I didn't really get to meet a whole lot of people. And then I'll just fast forward to the story. In 2011, InBev was bought out by Budweiser, and several of us executives were let go about 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because about a year earlier, I told my wife when I came home for a weekend, I said, I'm tired. I don't know what I'm going to do here in Reading and Anderson, but I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm definitely a believer. So I think, you know, God was listening. And a year later, you know, what happened happened. And, you know, I was grateful for it. Absolutely grateful. So I took a year off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was going to do, and I started getting involved. Kim Chamberlain, if you know who Kim Chamberlain is,
yeah.
Love that lady to death. She called and said, you should go to Rotary with me. Anderson Rotary.
So yep.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I need to meet some people. So I ended up going to Rotary, and I really started getting involved in community.
Met everybody at once.
Yeah, joined Rotary. Yeah, the whole town almost.
Yeah.
Got involved with the Rotary and started getting involved, and then, you know, ended up taking over Spherion staffing.
I still remember the first time I went to Reading Rotary. Everybody's there.
Yep. Literally. But we have more Rotaries in Reading or in Shasta County, I think. Per capita than anywhere in the country, right?
I would believe that to be
yeah.
true.
I mean, yeah. I've read that multiple times.
Yeah. So I ended up taking over Spherion staffing during that time period and staying involved with the community. And Spherion at that time was in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID, I actually moved the office to Anderson. So we revamped one of those 100-year-old buildings on East Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
And moved into there. It's just a beautiful building.
Yeah.
Love that building.
So when did you actually officially get involved with City of Anderson
politics,
shall we say?
So a couple of years into it, Norma Comnick, if you remember that name.
Yeah.
Long time.
These are all these names you keep talking about. I'm like, I know all these people.
Great. And just so you know, great mentors of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And Norma's gone today. And John Shara, if you remember that name
from
Days Gone By,
mm-hmm.
another great mentor. They said, hey, we're not doing well. The city's, you know, we're at almost no reserve. The city's not doing well. You have a great business background. You have a great thought process. I'd put on a few fundraisers with Rotary that were done. And they said, you should think about running for office. So I'm like, well, I don't know anybody here other than, you know, all of you guys.
Yeah.
But I'm probably not a name, but, you know, whatever.
Well, you have a pretty memorable name.
Sure.
Baron yeah. Browning. I mean, you see that and you remember that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I like the name Baron.
So you ran and then what happened?
I ran and I won by 38 votes.
38
votes.
Well, all you needed was one.
Right. I remember the recount took forever.
Mm.
Well, that seems to be a common thread.
Yeah.
For all elections, recount.
I think it was only, you know, like 12 days or something. And I know it's a deal, right? I get it. But, you know, when you're in that time zone of, like, am I in or am I out? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would drive me nuts.
So, yeah, I got into office. And, by the way, I just want to back up that, you know, my wife, we have three kids, two older boys and a daughter that's a senior this year. So I have an amazing family. I know I'll leave them out there.
Oh, you still have one in high school.
Yeah, she's a senior this year.
She
goes to Foothill.
Foothill, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love Foothill.
Yeah,
that's where
it's been a great school for her.
My twins graduated from there.
She's an ag girl, so she was FFA president last year. She's vice president this year.
Awesome.
She's a go-getter.
Yeah, one of my boys did viticulture there and was one of the – he'd come home with these just massive blisters on his hand from digging the trenches that they were planting all the grapes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just moving on with Anderson, I just jumped in with both feet. Like, we had a 10% reserve at the time, and, you know, how can we, you know, move this in the right direction? We went after a half-cent sales tax. Our law enforcement at the time, and I'll just give you a quick story, was I went on a ride-along while I was running because I really wanted to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I at that time, I think we had 1.5, 2 person per shift, officers on duty, 12 or 13 law enforcement officers tops for 4 shifts, right? So you think about it, when one's gone, where you at, you know, all those things. So that night I go on a ride-along with Officer Halligan at the time, canine officer, and we ended up getting in a chase.
Mm.
It ends up being a drunk guy at the end, but we go through town and we get to the other side. By that time, the sergeant's behind us, so we're the two on duty are in this chase, and we end up going into this neighborhood, and the V truck stops. We're in a Crown Vic, and the truck slams on its brakes and puts it in reverse and drives on our hood. And I had never been on a ride-along before, so if you're talking about thrill-seeking, it didn't seem like a thrill. I thought I was going to mess my pants as this truck tire is coming at my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my world, but that's what I saw.
Yeah.
Not necessarily reality, but that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the deal for me. So as I stood out there for the next 3.5, 4 hours.
Yeah, right.
While the investigation went on and CHP had to show up and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, there's no one watching the city.
Right.
This is it. This is not okay. was really the pound for, like, yes, we have to pass this house in sales tax. Our city's not safe. We had homeless everywhere. Crime everywhere is what it felt like. It probably wasn't as bad as it felt.
Mm-hmm.
But from the guy running for office and being out all the time, it just felt overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to do something to fix it.
I remember the first time I went on a ride along in L.A. at night. And
oh, God. In L.A.?
Yeah. Well, city attorney's office.
Yeah.
And, you know, the instructions were you stay inside the car at all times.
Yeah.
You don't get out.
And right. Pray to God that there's, like, metal door or, you know, iron in the doors or whatever you call it. And yep. Bulletproof glass. Yeah, right. Question for you real quick. So, you know, I am I'm an avid voter. You know, I try to research before I vote, all these things. I am one person that also believes that we all need to pay taxes and our fair share. Do I like it? Absolutely not. But I see the struggles quite often when cities want to go in and raise taxes, even if they are for a good cause, like you're saying. And I never really understood, you know, I know that government, I guess I'm just really a simple person, right? I always am baffled by people that I know and then run for government, and then you see them and you're like, gosh, that's like a different person, right? And
people change.
And that people change. And I don't think that they necessarily change as much as the system changes them, because the system just, in my opinion, doesn't work, right? But, you know, I am all for paying taxes in this kind of situation when you're talking about for safety of your city and stuff.
Right.
I just feel like the challenge with people is they never trust the government. So they always feel like this tax is being put on them, and there's no way for them to truly know where the money is going, right? They say it. And if there was some type of way that when you did those kind of addendums to vote on and stuff, if any one person, if they wanted to, had some type of transparency system in place.
There absolutely is an answer.
Is there?
And we talk about it every year when we talk about budget.
Yeah.
We just went through our budget a couple weeks ago for and the accounting side of that budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the dedication was at least 50% to public safety, and then the rest really beautifying the community.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Uh huh.
So now we have 24 officers on duty.
Okay, yikes.
Instead of two.
Instead of two.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And just it's a completely different town. You don't see what you see in other big cities.
You
and
don't.
I'm not putting anybody down for
no.
sure. We just felt like this was our thing to do. And
yeah.
so when you start with nothing and you really can't pass any ordinances because they don't even have time to breathe, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just going from one call to the next. This makes total sense.
Then you got to be creative.
In the transparency of things, we decided, okay, well, we're going to start with, you know, once we get the money and we have enough, we're going to start with a park, right? Anderson River Park, just a beautiful park, by the way, started by John Scherer. That was his vision back in the day. Love the man, great mentor. And so we put in the splash pad, $2 million this past year,
mm-hmm.
$2 million splash pad. People absolutely love it. But that's not the only thing we've done. We have a great soccer field, so great soccer area down there that people constantly use, and we just continue to beautify
Anderson
that
River
park.
Anderson River Park is always under transformation.
Yes.
I mean, I've done movies in the park there for almost 12 years now. And I've watched it continue to evolve.
We just voted to bring back some more stuff to continue that. And not just with the Anderson River Park. There's other things that need to be done. One of our main thoroughfares, which is Ventura, that runs along Vittles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It goes directly to I-5.
Yeah.
Has never had sidewalks. Well, right now, sidewalks and a new street are being put in.
Oh, awesome.
And so you continue to do those things to beautify your community, to make it better. So when people come into your town, not only the people that live there, but the people that are coming to your town just to visit for a day are going...
Yeah. So what sounds like, I mean, and thank you for addressing that, because to me it's like one of those things where if I just knew that, you know, that my money was being used properly and I could physically go see that, I mean, no, I'm not asking you for every secret that's going on in the city, but if you're going to come to me or to the public and say, hey, we need to tax this and this is what we're going to do with
you
it.
You should hold us accountable.
And we are going to allow you to have complete access to this project from start to finish, and you can log in any time and see what's being collected and how it's being spent. Well, why wouldn't you be down with that? Like, right?
Mr. James,
yeah.
We just had the flashing light.
I know.
We had the flashing light.
That's why I held up my finger.
It's pretty good. You know, I keep telling James he should be running for office here at some point, too. What do you think?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. We're having a great discussion here. It's Nigel.
James.
James, how are you?
Do you play guitar?
I do.
So can you tell me when you, like, you've obviously, I've watched you pick a, chord or a note. I don't know anything, but to come back on. What is that?
It's a dive.
It's a dive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that
I didn't know if you were
going to
tell me.
Right?
It's an F9 sharp with sweep down the neck. I mean, I don't know anything.
I had my own AC/DC cover band for a little while.
I know you did. About That's right. I forgot.
And
you
were
you did guitar or bass
guitar.
Or okay,
it's great. I love the guitar. Mm-hmm. So, but we're here with Mr. Baron Browning.
Do you play guitar?
No, sir.
Do you play any instruments?
No, sir.
No music. Hmm.
That's why you couldn't identify the song.
That's right. Well, that's okay. We'll forgive you this one time.
Okay. I missed my 10 points.
So,
yeah, but you've made those up by being a good mayor.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So Baron Browning is current mayor of Anderson. And you're running for Board of Supervisors, District 5. So we need to get to the mm-hmm. Chester County piece. But
yes.
I have a question about Anderson. Because when I moved up to Reading here about, 12 years ago, you know, Reading is, quote-unquote, the big city, even though when you move here from L.A. and San Francisco, it feels like a village at first, right?
Right.
And then, but it's great. I mean, personally, I love the fact that you can get from one side to the other in 12, 13 minutes.
Right.
But, you know, Shasta Lake City and Anderson were always kind of considered the smaller outposts of Reading.
Were the small suburb.
Small suburb.
I call them bedroom communities.
Yes.
Right. So has that worked to Anderson's advantage or disadvantage?
I think with improvement, it's definitely an advantage. Because we're seen as... and rightfully so. We've done a great job as a council of really taking our businesses and the love for our community and just saying, here's how we're going to operate our business. Because at the end of the day, and we've talked about this before the show started, the city is a business. And when people come to do business, they want to be treated like the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, you know, that was one of those things where we all thought the same thing. We strive to do it, and we want employees that feel the same way. Most of our employees live within our community,
mm-hmm.
and we want them to know that those people that are coming are very important to us.
Yeah,
and we want to take care of them from beginning to end.
Well, it's kind of the conversation we've been trying to have over the last couple of years, even as far as tourism goes, right?
Yeah.
Because to me, it's an underdeveloped industry for our region, but even though it's getting better. But sometimes people say, "Well,
we don't want all those resources. Yeah.
Right. People say, "Well, we don't want all those people here." Well, they're customers, and they bring a lot of money,
yeah.
And then they leave again, right?
Well, that's hopefully the key. They leave.
So that's actually a pretty good attitude as far as the city is a business, right? So, do you feel the same way about the county?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would tell you that when I first got elected, we had a 10% reserve. Today, we're at 30% reserve, and we're still doing all those things to improve the city. The other thing we did, and nothing against our Shasta County EDC, but we left the EDC. And I'm not here to bang on them. It was just a business decision.
Yeah.
We had been with them for 10 years, paying them $100,000 a year. They didn't bring us one business.
Yeah.
So we left.
Mm-hmm.
And we started our own Anderson Community Economic Development. And since then, the business after business after business. Now, some of those have taken a few years, right? You look at Maverick that's coming in now, offsites, U.S. offsites that's, you know, just filed for some of their paperwork this last couple weeks. Some of that growth has taken time, but you pluck those things one off at a time. And you can
see those are significant projects.
Yeah.
It's not something, I don't care.
Cornerstone Community Bank is now in our city. They just opened recently. The things just keep coming.
Yep.
NorCal tractor and trailer and equipment is going on I-5. I think you'll see some hotels coming here really soon in the near future.
Awesome.
So you just keep plucking those things off and you just keep letting people know that we are open for business.
So what made you decide to run for Shasta County Supervisor?
Was that your decision or
were people prodding you?
No, I don't think anybody was prodding me for any of that. I just felt like that we were just spinning. And it's felt the same way when I was just living in Anderson and not being part of the community. I felt like we were just spinning and not really going anywhere. We talk a lot. We do a really good job of talking, and no offense against any of them. I don't know what their motives were or what happened prior to me figuring out that I was going to run. But some simple things that we did in Anderson are those same things that we could do at the county level.
Mm-hmm.
And we just decided to do those things. And I know the county's, you know, done some things, but when we gave back the money for the new jail, I was in awe. Like, that's one of our biggest issues. I mean, outside of drugs, right? I mean, we know we have a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, our biggest issue is we don't have any place to hold anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave back the money, and the tout was back then that, well, we would need more staff. Well, actually, I disagree. I just did a quick Google search and started researching new prisons. You actually need one-third less people because it's modern. And it's shaped differently. There's not all these tunnels and roads, you know, paths to get to cells. It's a pod. And you only need one or two versus seven on a floor, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think your numbers shrink in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I could be way off. But in my head, just looking at it, what we do today, and I've taken a tour of the jail, what we do today versus the new era. Now, maybe it might be the same amount of people today. Maybe it's a couple more. But you're also double the size.
Correct.
Yeah. Right?
So was that the catalyst for you to say, okay, you know, I'm going to jump in?
Yeah, and the fact that we never, and I kept hearing the same promises over and over. We're going to get somebody in Cottonwood. We're going to get a deputy in Shingletown. We're going to get a deputy in Burnie. And I know that the Sheriff Johnson, who was our former police chief, has now gotten one out in Burnie, but we still have two other areas that need that same thing, the Cottonwood, Happy Valley, and Shingletown dedicated. So... and I know he's doing, you know, doing a good job now of recruiting and getting some deputies on board, and I applaud him for that. But we need to make sure that we're constantly making sure that he's okay, and what does he need to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Is what we're doing enough? Because at the end of the day, if we're not helping our communities be safe, then we've failed.
That's right. So one of the things I've noticed, for most cities or counties in the country, but definitely the big cities during election season, they tend to push out the homeless issue, right? And that it becomes an election issue, and then the elections happen, and then they retract, and nothing ever happens. Right? And so...
I just get so frustrated with this topic.
one of the issues that keeps getting brought up in this community every election cycle is the homeless issue, right? So, do you have anything specific?
Well, there was homeless in Anderson when I got elected the first time, and we just made simple ordinances, like there's no camping. Right? Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no panhandling. And I know people are saying, well, that's against the law. They have freedom of speech. They do absolutely have freedom of speech. But what they don't have...
What does that have to do with camping?
No.
Panhandling.
Panhandling.
Oh.
Panhandling. There was...
Speech is words coming out of your mouth, not...
Well, freedom of speech can be on a board. That was their ruling.
Oh,
let's accept
saying.
The ruling for what it is. It
okay.
wasn't ours, but there was a ruling at some high level. They came down and said they have freedom of speech. That's fine, right up until you block the intersection.
Hmm.
Now you've created other issues. So we just took the law and worked it to our advantage to say, hey, the second the car stops, you both get a ticket. because now you're blocking the intersection.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the person giving the $5 got a, you know, $250 ticket, and the panhandler got a $250 ticket. Now, we know the panhandler will probably never pay it. They'll never go to court.
Mm-hmm.
But the driver of the vehicle is like, whoa.
Yeah.
But we're pretty good about giving warnings first. I will tell you
that. That's heartbreaking, all of it.
But
I get it. I totally get it.
Unfortunately, you've got to do what you do because what happens is then they go up into the store and then they're, you know, right next to the entrance of the store. And I mean, it just keeps getting worse. And you just don't see that in our city very often from those things.
You actually really don't, actually, now that I think about it.
And the other thing we don't do well in the county, which we've done a really good job of, is our code enforcement really going after the squatters in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not okay that I have squatters living next to me. Like, I don't want to hear them all night. And that's not fair to anybody. It doesn't matter whether you're in the city or the county. Nobody wants to live with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we definitely need to work on hiring another code enforcement officer. And if that means that we need to put a deputy with him at times, then we need to make sure that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to go out there and rid those people from our community. And I've done two with the county just in this time that I've been running, that I've worked with the county to get those people removed in the county that were causing a nuisance in the county.
Well, and, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around because this is an onion that's got 1,000 layers, right? And, you know, I always try first. My heart is always compassionate for people. These are human beings. They're living, breathing creatures, and, you know, they have moms and dads, all this stuff. Okay, so then I've got to go ahead and put that in a box, right? But then I say to myself, right, if you have something in your community that offers these people some type of service, hope, protection, you know, getting them off the street, feeding them, and you have that available to them, but then at that point they've chosen or choose not to use those services, and then they are doing the things that they're doing that you see that cause all these problems in camping and stuff. Because at first I'm always like, gosh, you know, if they had a place, maybe they would turn their life around. But I've just come to realize that a lot of these people, they don't want.
Well, here's the legislation.
They don't want help, right?
The legislation is very simple. Chico got sued and lost because the two small missions they had, which don't hold very many people, were full. Our mission's not full.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to Jonathan Anderson, it's not full. I don't know that it's ever been full, not in my time while I've been on the Anderson City Council, and that's the way the law reads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we first started doing homeless sweeps and targeting this, we absolutely went to them and said, hey, there's room, how can we help you get there?
Yeah.
I ain't going there. And we've had two that I'm aware of say, I'm ready, and we helped them actually get there. They actually got on a bus and went back to the Midwest where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
So the mission does a good job if you're not from here.
Yeah.
Calling your family and saying, where are you from? The family, do you want them back? Yes, we want them back.
No, thanks.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure that happens.
We don't want to put you on a bus if you really, we don't want to disperse you to somewhere else.
If you're not welcome.
If you're not welcome, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I know that sounds weird, but absolutely you don't want to just.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So the last couple of years have been kind of interesting at the Board of Supervisors.
Yep.
It's been very interesting, kind of loud.
Yep.
So I'm sure you've been following all that.
Been to most of them.
Been to most of them. Did you have anything to say about the recall, or were you just going to let it play its course and see what happens?
My deal about the recall was I was never, as an elected sitting official, I was never going to get involved. Do I have a personal opinion? Absolutely. But I was, as an elected sitting official, I just chose not to be involved in it.
Okay.
From either side.
Were you there yesterday?
And that was my stance.
Were you there yesterday?
I was.
As some people said, that's the most packed they've seen the Board of Supervisors chamber.
Really?
Yep. It was packed.
I think there was a couple other times where it was either that full or just as full. But yeah, I mean, Tim got a standing ovation. Good for him.
Yep.
He won.
Yep. Great. Well, this is the end of the third. This is going by way too quick. You know, we need to bring the food next time.
Well, that's why you always see me. I've got my coffee and my bag of in-flight nuts. And
so
that's why I'm munching away at the mic all night long.
We'll be right back with Byron Brimer and actually some personal stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back, Northern California. Good evening. This is Nigel and James.
Back.
Goes Rachel. And we have Mr. Byron Browning with us today. He's the City of Anderson mayor, and he's running for Board of Supervisors, District 5. We were kind of talking during the break. You know, one of the things that I found interesting, that I still find interesting, that the moment somebody announces that they're going to run for office, they immediately get pigeonholed. Right?
Yes.
So,
what's your hole? What are you pigeonholed?
Like, so you're either Democrat or Republican, and the moment you pick one side or the other to actually run on, you immediately get half a dozen labels, right? You automatically get associated with groups. So I'm sure you're running on the Republican ticket, so you immediately get lumped in with the militia and the white supremacists and all the other kind of stuff at the same time. Or have you had less of that?
No, I think it's been that, and then it's been that some of my supporters are on both sides of the aisle. And so then I get told, well, now you're becoming a Democrat. And if you look at my voting record by any of the stretch of imagination, I'm not even... You know, I'm very middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely Republican,
mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely a middle of the road Republican. I definitely have compassion for those that are less fortunate than me and want to do everything for them, but I also believe that it's a hand up, not a handout.
Which is a shame in itself that you would think just because you're Republican that that would not be part of your makeup. Right? Like,
right.
All of a sudden, like, wait, you're a Republican, so you're just a horrible person?
Right.
Well, I think we get blinded by the party affiliation.
We did
a great exercise in L.A. where mm-hmm. we took 10 talking points or 10 standpoints. They were exactly the same. And we put one on a Democrat card and one on a Republican card, but they were all jumbled up. So they weren't in the same order.
Right.
Right? They were just different order. And the Democrats they totally rejected the Republican side, and the Republicans rejected the Democrats, but they were the exact same talking points. It's just
right.
One was blue and one was red.
Right.
It was kind of a funny, kind of an interesting example.
And then yet you can't ever seem to have anybody that has any success in the middle of the road, right?
Well, I talk about all the time, like, my voting record speaks for itself,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And any decision that I made, every decision I made was for a reason. It was methodical. It was thought out. It was researched,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if it affected another... one of our departments, I made sure I went and spoke with them about what that effect would be,
mm-hmm.
And what the long-term effects of that decision would be. Because you want to know at the end of the day what it's going to look like. We had this off-topic discussion just before this. Like, I look at things and I go, what is my daughter and my grandkids going to think in 30 years
mm-hmm.
of the decisions that grandpa made or dad made
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day? And that's really important to me because it's not about Barron's legacy at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that future generation going, man, I'm glad we have that.
True, yeah.
So one of the main themes for me has been the California Adventure District, so the whole tourism piece, getting outdoors, right?
Yeah.
Promoting the outdoors in our area, because I think it's underrated, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's underbranded.
And we live on the river.
That's right.
We wake up every morning, we get a look at the mountain. I mean,
so,
who doesn't want to live
or
here?
Or two of them.
Or two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to live here?
So when you first moved, when you started visiting here, are you somebody who partakes of what we have to offer around
Absolutely.
Here? Where do you like to go?
I love the lake. I love just to go hiking and walk through our park, you know, fishing, hunting, yeah.
So now that you're running on a county level, are there any other areas around our North State that you frequent or no?
We go to Mount Shasta quite a bit. and just, you know, spend the weekend, hang out, you know, enjoy the mountain, the little cooler air, especially in the summer.
Yeah,
just for a day.
I know.
But, you know, unfortunately, when you're in the position I'm in, we don't get a lot of those. We don't get near enough of those.
Yeah.
When people come to visit, or they're, you know, let's say business associates or people are thinking about moving to Anderson, do you send them out and about? Do you tell them, hey, go here, go
No,
there?
I like taking them.
That's right. I got a tour from you one day.
Yes. I'm very much, we had a country artist drive through town once and actually stopped at Becca's because of the Yelp reviews. And if you don't know about Becca's, you should go to Becca's. Great family-run breakfast place. Anyway, she called and she goes, this country's artist in town, he's introduced himself. You got to come. So I went up there and we chatted for a little bit. And I took him and his wife on a tour of the city and the surrounding areas, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, I love giving a tour of our city. I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
So that brings up an interesting topic about Anderson because I forgot who it was. One of the officials, probably a few years ago, about a year and a half ago, said, yeah, the only thing we're missing in Anderson is great places to eat, restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's changing. So in Anderson, what are some of the better places to eat?
Vittles Cafe is I like it a lot. And
you can't miss it.
You can't
when
you miss just, it
when you're coming
you
south.
Yeah,
and you pull right off, and there it is.
Breakfast, as far as just a family love location, is a Becca's. We got just on the edge. We got Mr. Taco, another great family run business. I mean, there's just some great places.
I must say, in Anderson, I like to go down to Humble Joe's.
Humble Joe's, good.
That's a good place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to answer that question when you leave one out, then someone's going to call tomorrow and go, I heard you on the radio.
I know, right?
Save me.
No, I'll be honest. I don't know many businesses in Anderson. I've been down there, obviously, 100 times, yeah. Right?
And Peacock Chinese. Who can go wrong with Chinese food?
Mm-hmm.
I love Chinese food.
Now that's only what I want for dinner.
As the mayor of Anderson, do you spend a lot of time coming up to Reading?
I do. I do a lot of meetings here. Yeah.
That's only gonna increase, obviously, if you're
absolutely, and that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Because then you get to engage them about your territory, your area, and what's going on. And
District 5 includes what?
So it's Shingletown, Anderson, Cottonwood, and Happy Valley, and it kind of does that little.
All right. Yeah.
It goes way out there, right?
Yeah.
How many square miles? Any idea? District 5?
I don't know. I didn't mileage it.
So you're going to be doing a lot of driving during your campaign.
Sure.
You have been.
I have anyway. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty
good. Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to touch on before we split? Because we only have a few minutes left.
Sure. I just wanted to talk about some of the things that I want to continue doing. I actually got picked by PG&E to sit on a roundtable group, and there's 10 elected officials in the state. And really that has just promoted the hardening of the lines in Anderson. We were getting shut off a lot, and some of our major businesses were constantly losing big funding from money from, you know, the store and not being going, and the food loss and other things. And so we've worked really hard with PG&E over the last 24 months about really hardening the outside of Anderson. And PG&E was fantastic to work with to get that done. We don't agree on some things about the constant rate increases and you know, the amount of money that you took while you weren't hardening when you should have been hardening, and that's a whole different topic, but we're here now. And so I just want to make sure that we're getting our fair share. And I'm actually having a meeting with them because I am that roundtable rep with PG&E again next week with the city of Anderson and Matt Pontus, our CAO, in regards to what do we need to be continue to doing because they pretty much fortified Anderson at this point. So now we need to move on.
Okay.
And get some of our bigger spots. Shingletown's obviously a huge fire concern that we want to continue on. I know we got grants over the last couple of years to clean up the sides of the roads and streets.
That. Yep.
But we need to continue that.
Yep.
Because that's our next big hotspot. If you look at Shingletown, that's the next big hotspot. And so we need to continue going after that grant money, continually harden that area with PG&E, and making sure that we're fortified on all those fronts. And Happy Valley is another concern. Every year there seems to be a fire out in Happy Valley. And so we need what's the issue? How do we get that situation hardened up, PG&E? What are we missing on? You know, do we need to go knock on doors because somebody won't let you cut down a tree? I have no problem going to the door. Like, well, look at the death rate, right, and the fires. Like,
so when it comes to the fires, I mean, obviously one of the things we keep hearing about is forest management that we haven't really actually manage the forest correctly. Is that
is that, that is true?
Is that a you know?
That's a thing.
It is a thing.
Absolutely.
Well, I kept thinking you would use the logging companies as a tool to just create like fire breaks through all, you know, like we're going to just.
Yeah, but you start talking about regulations that you can't cut stuff down.
Right. Well, I mean, honestly,
what expense?
You're exactly right. And me and Anderson have been saying this year, if you let the SPIs of the world, not just SPI, I use SPI because they're in the city of Anderson, but if you let the SPIs of the world, which by the way, SPI owns probably the most land, forest land of anybody, mm-hmm. you know, outside of the government. And they maintain their forests extremely well. Like when a fire goes into them, it goes, it doesn't go near as bad or fast as it mm-hmm. does when it goes into our forest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you let companies like that go in and manage our forests through a contract, right? Mm-hmm. Just lay out the rules.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
Yeah.
But you got to let them.
Well,
because they're good at it.
I look at GPS all the time, maps and stuff, and I'm always looking down on it, right? And I look at Northern California and I zoom in, and you can see these checkerboards all over the mountains where they're logging, right?
Right.
And it's like these, it's like a patchwork of quilts. Like, you know, it's like the whole mountain's bald here, and then you can see they planted trees here 5 years ago. And so they're obviously cutting trees, right? And I'm the last person in the world that wants any tree cut because I love trees. But if you were to go in and log differently instead of just doing patches, instead maybe you're going through forests in a straight line that's cutting a swath that you would be putting in that's wide enough for like power lines, but you're crisscrossing the, you know, crisscrossing the forest in long lines that are creating these natural fire breaks instead of these small square patches. Right. I mean, those are the types of things
well,
I always
it's
think.
It's bigger than that, though. We've left it so overgrown that if you need 24 feet, and I'm making up numbers, if you need 24 feet between trees, we got 20 trees in between 24 feet.
Yep.
Like, nobody's getting growth here. So like, it's bad for all.
We actually have some built-in experts in forest management who have been here for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Right? And those would be the tribes. And,
right.
And they laugh at us all the time. Like, what are you guys doing? Right?
Well, they used to burn from here to Bernie back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. And,
yeah.
And here we sit going, well,
but if you did it every year, it doesn't turn into a forest fire.
Right.
It just kind of goes crackle, crackle.
Well, and it goes along the ground. It picks the stuff up. It doesn't get into the trees because you do, you know, you do cut up, right?
I'm actually a big fan of bringing the tribes to the table when it
comes
to
forest
management.
We were all three of us here. We're at a really cool thing today with Emergent 3D, with the 3D homes today. And it was funny because what is his name from Wind River was there.
Jack Potter.
Jack Potter. And he's walking, and I'm walking in with him, and he's talking, and he's like, ooh, look, yum.
Food.
This is good food. He's pointing out all these things on the ground that are good to eat. And, you know, we're like, oh, be careful, there's poison oak. Oh, I'm Indian. I don't get poison oak.
Right.
So we have 2 minutes left. But real quick, is like he's like, yeah, you can take this and you do this and you can make a tea, but then if you boil it, it's like a potato. And I was just laughing at him because, I mean, here he is just coming out for this event, and he's walking around, and he's literally pointing out a million things that are like, I had no clue, right? I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, our people did this, and we did this, and then my mom would make a tea from poison oak when it first buds because it's not so strong, and then you would drink the tea and it makes you immune. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff we could learn.
And then we go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, Baron, it's been great having you on.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you've had some fun.
I absolutely have fun.
I think you have a busy, well, it's actually going to go by very quickly. June 7th is the primary.
Yep.
Right. So how can people reach you?
VoteForBaron.com.
That's it.
That's simple.
Well, they can go to Anderson City Hall.
Yep.
And if you look on the Vote for Baron, my number's on there. And if you go to the city page, my cell phone's on there. I'm on East Center Street at Spreon Staffing, so you can come by and say hi.
So
I have people come in all the time.
Approachable.
Very. Love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being on our show.
Thanks.
And we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.